Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 61, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tatra Udvahat Pashupa Vangsha Shishutva Natyam Advayam Param Anantam Agadha Bodham Vatsan Sakin Iva Pura Paritaha Vichinvat Ekam Sa Pani Kavalam Parameshthi. Achashta. Tatrava. What's the meter? Tatrodvahat Pashupavangsha. Tatrodvahat Pashupavangsha Shishutva Natyam. Brahmadvayam paramanantam agadha bodham. Vatsan sakin iva pura parito vichinvad. Ekang sapani kavalam parameshtya chashta. Tatrodvahat Pashupavangsha Shishutva Natyam. Brahmadvayam Paramanantam Agadha Bodham. Vatsan Sakin Iva Pura Parito Vichinvad. Ekang sapani kavalam parameshtya achashta.
Tatra dhat pashupavam cha shishutvanatyam.
Tatra dhat pashupavam cha shishutvanatyam.
Brahma dvayam paramanandam agata bhotam.
Brahma dvayam paramanandam.
Ekam sapani kavalam parameshtya chashta.
Then, ladies. Tatra, there, in Vrindavan, Udvahat, assuming, Pashupa, Vangsha, Shishudva, Natyam, the play of being a child in a family of cowherd men, another of Krishna's names is Gopal, he who maintains the cows. Brahma, the absolute truth. Advayam, without a second. Param, the supreme. Anantam, unlimited. Agadha, bodham, possessing unlimited knowledge. Vatsan, the calves. Sakin and his friends, the boys. Iva, Pura, just as before. Paritaha, everywhere. Vichinvat, searching. Ekam, alone, all by himself. Sa, Pani, Kavalam, with a morsel of food in his hand. Parameshthi, Lord Brahma. Achashta, saw. Then Lord Brahma saw the absolute truth, who is one without a second, who possesses full knowledge and who is unlimited, assuming the role of a child in a family of cowherd men and standing all alone, just as before, with a morsel of food in his hand, searching everywhere for the calves and his cowherd friends. Purport, the word agadha bodham, meaning full of unlimited knowledge, is significant in this verse. The Lord's knowledge is unlimited, and therefore one cannot touch where it ends, just as one cannot measure the ocean. What is the extent of our intelligence in comparison to the vast expanse of water in the ocean? On my passage to America, how insignificant the ship was, like a matchbox in the midst of the ocean. Krishna's intelligence resembles the ocean, for one cannot imagine how vast it is. The best course, therefore, is to surrender to Krishna. Don't try to measure Krishna. The word advayam, meaning one without a second, is also significant. Because Brahma was overcast by Krishna's maya, he was thinking himself the supreme. In the material world, everyone thinks, I am the best man in this world. I know everything. One thinks, why should I read Bhagavad Gita? I know everything. I have my own interpretation. Brahma, however, was able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Another of Krishna's names, therefore, is Parameshvara. Now, Brahma saw Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, not demonstrating his opulence, but standing just like an innocent boy with some food in his hand, loitering with his cowherd boyfriend's calves and cows. Brahma did not see Krishna as Chaturbhuja, the opulent Narayana. Rather, he simply saw an innocent boy. Nonetheless, he could understand that although Krishna was not demonstrating his power, he was the same Supreme Person. People generally do not appreciate someone unless he shows something wonderful. But here, although Krishna did not manifest anything wonderful, Brahma could understand that the same wonderful person was present like an ordinary child, although he was the master of the whole creation. Thus Brahma prayed, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. You are the original person, the cause of everything. I bow down to you. This was his realization. Tamaham Bhajami. This is what is wanted. Vedeshu Durlabham. One cannot reach Krishna merely by Vedic knowledge. Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. But when one becomes a devotee, then one can realize him. Brahma therefore became a devotee. In the beginning he was proud of being Brahma, the Lord of the universe, but now he understood. Here is the Lord of the universe. I am simply an insignificant agent. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna was playing like a dramatic actor. Because Brahma had some false prestige, thinking that he had some power, Krishna showed him his real position. A similar incident occurred when Brahma went to see Krishna in Dwaraka. When Krishna's doorman informed Lord Krishna that Lord Brahma had arrived, Krishna responded, "Which Brahma? Ask him which Brahma." The doorman relayed this question and Brahma was astonished. Is there another Brahma besides me? He thought. When the doorman informed Lord Krishna, it is four-headed Brahma, Lord Krishna said, "Oh, four-headed, call others, show him." This is Krishna's position. For Krishna, the four-headed Brahma is insignificant, to say nothing of four-headed scientists. Materialistic scientists think that although this planet Earth is full of opulence, all others are vacant. Because they simply speculate, this is their scientific conclusion. But from the Bhagavatam we understand that the entire universe is full of living entities everywhere. Thus it is the folly of the scientists that although they do not know anything, they mislead people by presenting themselves as scientists, philosophers, and men of knowledge. Om Gyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Nama Srishtam Manamapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tamnatosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atav padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutang parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Bigna Vina Shan Anaya Shri Hoi Nijavan Chita Puran Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is one of the last purports that Srila Prabhupada dictated. before he left our mortal vision, we see that he's giving quite lengthy purports. He's repeating themes that he's spoken on many times, but also giving new angles and insights. I don't recall elsewhere him speaking about four-headed scientists, for instance. And then after that he says, anyway, they know nothing. So they may have four heads, but they don't know anything. The point that Srila Prabhupada is... Well, there are so many points. There are so many points that could be commented on in this verse and purport. The best course, therefore, is to surrender to Krishna. That's pretty much the essence of everything Srila Prabhupada came to teach and to demonstrate by his personal behavior. Srila Prabhupada is relishing dictating this Bhagavatam from the external perspective. He's lying in a helpless, painful situation, but he's in ecstasy, fully conscious of Krishna, and performing his service for which he came to this world, up to his last breath, literally. He's teaching us how to surrender to Krishna in every breath of life. He mentions here that previously Brahma wasn't a devotee. Brahma was a devotee, but not to he was in a different kind of consciousness. The word devotee is used in different ways. Sometimes said that, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that anyone who even chants the name of Krishna once can be considered a Vaishnava. On the other hand, a devotee means, if you want to take to the full real meaning of the word, that means someone who's completely surrendered to Krishna, wrapped in thoughts of Krishna all the time. So Brahma is a devotee with some material touch. Therefore, he's in the material world, very much involved in the material world. But Krishna has very nicely humiliated him here. And now he's come to the platform of pure devotion. Brahma is the creator. His service is to create a situation for every living being. The bodies and the circle, the planets, the circumstances they live in. He has to make heaven and hell and everything in between. Those who are on the platform of pure devotion or who are following pure devotees, they're in a more fortunate situation than Lord Brahma. Brahma is very much involved in the material world. And everyone else who's in this world is also very much involved in it. Srila Prabhupada is very much involved in this world. But in another sense, like Krishna, he is Padma Patram Evambasa. He's aloof from it all. So we're very fortunate. There's a creation is going on here. This creative impulse is most largely, in a massive scale, is actuated, reified by Lord Brahma, and here we are creating a temple also. That's also creation. Brahma does the creation in the service of Krishna, but it's a secondary kind of service. Inasmuch as it's facilitating the warped desires of the conditioned souls. Whereas building a temple here is meant for glorifying Krishna directly and rectifying the warped desires of the conditioned souls. And we'll be happy to invite Krishna here, and if Krishna comes, then Brahma will come also. In London, where Srila Prabhupada first installed Radha Krishna deities in the Western world, he told the devotees, you have to make on one side of the Singhasan of Radha Landanishvara, a Vyasa son for Lord Brahma and one for Narad Muni, because they come here regularly. We're regularly singing Brahma Adi Devagan, they're performing the arati, Shiva Shuka Narada, Prema Gada Gada, they're all there at the arati of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So building this building, it's not easy, but the bigger challenge is to create an atmosphere of pure devotional service. Brahma creates an atmosphere of forgetfulness of Krishna in which there's a possibility of being reminded of Krishna. And we, who are more fortunate than Lord Brahma, who are in the sampradaya of Lord Brahma, are charged with creating an atmosphere of direct remembrance of Krishna, pure devotional service, anyabhilashita shunyam, without any cultivation of other desires. It's not that we are completely, most of us, most probably, I can't read your minds, are not completely free from material contamination, but here is to be cultivated an atmosphere of coming to that platform of consciousness of not having any material desires, acting on the platform of pure devotion, doing everything for Krishna. Krishnate akila cheshta. And so many temples are built. One specialty of this temple is that it's being built simply for the pleasure of Krishna. It's not that someone is building it to perpetuate their name or fame or to be free from sin so they can go to the heavenly planets. We don't expect that everyone's going to become a completely pure, perfect devotee, free of all material desires. That's not going to happen overnight. But the aim is to create an atmosphere in which everyone who participates in this atmosphere, whether they come as a casual visitor, they come for a festival, or whether they're in the congregation just living close by, even in the ashram, living right here, everyone becomes affected by that mood, that transcendental mood, which is different to anything we'll find in the material world. Even among the great selfless welfare workers and the selfless soldiers dying for the country, it's different to the mood of doing everything for Krishna, not for our own pleasure. So that's one motto for all devotees, Krishnarte akila cheshta. Everything should be done for Krishna. Another is tivrena bhakti yogena. There's so many temples of Krishna, but this one, or all of Srila Prabhupada's temples, they're meant for performing devotional service to Krishna very intensely. This is different from ordinary religion. In ordinary religion, we worship God, but with the idea of something I'll get for my own pleasure. But here the idea, everything for Krishna's pleasure, nothing for my own pleasure. And worship God at certain times to do that, and the rest of the time I'm doing what I want to do. But tivrena bhakti yogena, intense devotional service, means all the time, without any break. This is ahaitukiya pratihata, without any personal motive and non-stop, 24 hours a day. That means even sleeping is done simply to refresh the body so that it can be functional in Krishna's service. Nothing new, I'm saying, just like Prabhupada is, nothing new, but it's new. It's always fresh. We're astonished to see how this can be possible. We may also be astonished if we look back at our lives, those who were not born into this. Some of the children here were born into this. But if we look back at our life when there was some Rajit doing some software work in Dubai, and he couldn't have imagined the future of his life like this. None of us. He couldn't have imagined. It's astonishing. This temple is coming up. It's astonishing. Everyone who comes is astonished. I remember coming to Bombay, that must have been 1978 or 9. I'd been to Hare Krishna land, but before the temple was complete and opened. And then I came in 70 and I was astonished to see the beauty of the temple. I remember especially being astonished by the chandelier. It's amazing. I didn't see anything like this in England. There must be in England, but I don't remember seeing. You can go to all these ancient houses, but I don't remember such opulence. So this is something amazing. So people coming here are astonished. They just don't expect anything. Such a building and such an atmosphere. How everyone is working selflessly, or that mood is predominant. Maybe we shouldn't be astonished, because that's what we hear about. That's the nature of the spiritual energy. Srila Prabhupada did so many astonishing things. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, where is that? There are two things I wanted to read. No, I'm not seeing it now. That people, they want to do something so that others will notice them. Srila Prabhupada didn't act for that, but he became noticed for his astonishing deeds. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Krishna consciousness will be spread all over the world. Srila Prabhupada had faith in that. It wasn't considered possible. Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that by Krishna's potency, things which are seemingly impossible become possible. And that is what has happened with Lord Brahma also. He thought he knew everything that's going on in the material world. He should know. He's created all. He's literally overseeing it, sitting at the top of the universe looking at it. He sees everything. He knows everything that's going on. But he couldn't have imagined that Krishna would reproduce himself as all the calves and cowherd boys. It was achintya. It was beyond his imagination. But for Krishna, it's just part of his play. That's all. One of the things he does when he's playing. Lord Brahma, by stealing the cows and the calves and the herding boys, he contributed to Krishna's pastimes in so many ways. So Srila Prabhupada, he contributed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, demonstrating the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by bringing Krishna consciousness to the West. And it's not that Srila Prabhupada did so many miraculous things and the miracles should stop because he's passed away. But if we really believe that he's still present in his instructions, then wonderful things should continue to happen. And we see that where this mood is cultivated, it comes from the top, yad yad acharati shreshtaha tatad evetaro janaha. When that mood is cultivated, everyone, if others can follow like that, this mood of pure devotional service where it's preached and practiced, it can be picked up, and it's something unexpected in this material world, that people will work hard day after day, happily, without payment, not complaining, not only not complaining, but very happy to undertake all kinds of difficulties, because they know it's for Krishna, and they feel Krishna's reciprocation, and everyone's in that mood. Of course, not everyone will be fully in that mood, again, but it's predominating, and just by getting in the slipstream, or getting on the wave, just getting in the flow, then we come to the platform of pure devotional service. By going with the flow, we come to the platform of pure devotional service. We can become pure devotees very quickly. We have to keep ourselves in the fire. That's yet another analogy. This is from Chandogya Upanishad, the iron put into the fire becomes just like fire, becomes so hot it can burn anything it touches. But you have to keep it in the fire. Otherwise, if we take it out, it immediately starts to cool down. So we have to keep in the fire, keep on applying ourselves. There's the process of sadhana, and then service. And what is there? Sadhana means hearing and chanting about Krishna. There's service to do, and just keep on doing it, day after day after day. And with the idea that we don't have any other thing to do, this is what we do. We don't do anything else. And that's what pure devotees do. We hear about pure devotees, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, our own great Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but you can be a pure devotee changing your baby's nappies, for instance. Not that that is directly pure devotional service, but it is counted in devotional service if it's done with the aim everything is for Krishna. Actually, better than nappies is the old system. They don't do that nowadays. Just let them poop here and there. But anyway, we're in the modern world now. And then they get nappy rash, and they're horrible for them, for the kids. Anyway, yeah, householders, there are so many householder devotees here around. They have family obligations, like changing the nappies of babies, among many other things, social obligations. But they're focused on serving Krishna. They know what the goal of life is, and they're very serious to come to that goal of life, is why they've moved here. And they want to train their children in this. And we see many devotees, they're exceptional in their service and their attitude and their whole approach to life, their taste for the holy name. And anyway, you know among you, some are better known than others. It's better not to say any names. Well, because, well, it can be. Sometimes when you praise a devotee, it works against them. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, who praises me is my worst enemy. We often see that devotees are doing well, and then others start to notice they're doing well and praise them, and somehow that intoxication of praise goes to their head, and they think that whoever is praising me is my well-wisher. And who doesn't notice me, there's something wrong with them. And Maya has so many ways to enter. This is a well-known feature of Maya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns against that, those who are on the path of pure devotion. Lab puja pratishtadi jato upashaka gan. He warns against performing devotional service with a motive for pecuniary gain, that means getting money or other forms of wealth, for material gain. And then for position and prestige, he warns against this. It's very dangerous. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that even if someone may be very renowned, they renounced everything just to serve Krishna. But this is more difficult even to give up, this desire to be honest. Sorry, this desire to be... to give up the desire to be praised. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, amanina. He's not interested in being praised. It's also a test if we're chastised, and then instead of thinking, well, I need to reform, then they take it as a personal insult. Or if I praise someone in particular, then others might think, oh, why didn't I get praised? That means we're cultivating pure devotion, but we still may have so many neophyte tendencies. And if I praise without saying names, then those who are very neophyte and don't have the qualities will think, yes, they're talking about me. And those who I am talking about will think I'm talking about someone else. Psychology in devotional service. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to be humble. How can we be humble? We can take a cue from Lord Brahma. He was humbled for his foolishness, but he becomes very humble. And we'll see in his prayers coming up in the next chapter, which constitute very important teachings, not only the teachings that he explicates in his long, I think it's more than 40 verses he has prayer. How many do you know? 40 something. Very long prayers, but also the whole mood therein which he conveys. So those who are actually imbibing the spirit of pure devotion will like to think that others should be praised and I should be chastised. It's not very common. It seems to be the opposite of what human psychology is and should be. The psychologists are busy trying to make people normal, although they never really define what normal means. If we had everyone who was normal like they thought, then it would be pretty boring. But amanina manadena, this seems to be the idea that we don't want others to recognize or praise us, and we're very interested to praise others. This seems to be against normal human psychology. People work so hard to try to get praised, and they're often disappointed, just like this Olympic Games was just finished probably forgotten by most people already, if they're at all interested. People work so hard in doing some athletics or something just to get in the Olympic Games. Most of them who try are disappointed. And then most who go, there's only one winner. So you have hundreds, maybe thousands of people trying to become the fastest runner in the world, and only and one wins and the rest are disappointed. And the one who wins becomes puffed up. And the next life they can become some animal that can run very fast. They can all become animals that run very fast. Praising devotees brings attention to them, which those who are actually praiseworthy don't want to be praised. And you may wonder why I'm saying this, when there's a whole festival organized every year for the last so many years, just centered on praising this, what shall I call myself, this thing which presently sitting above all of you. And a whole book made each year in praise of myself. That is to fulfill the Vedic system, which Srila Prabhupada showed us. But if anyone is praised and thinks, yeah, now they understood, actually they should praise me more, then he immediately becomes fallen. Praised, we have to offer it up. It's indigestible. It's spiritually indigestible to be praised. It has to be taken and offered to Krishna through the parampara system. Take it like a peon. You're given something to take to someone else. It's not for you. It's not for us. Being praised can also be a test from Maya to test the devotee. The examples, the most heart-wrenching seems to me that of Maharaj Harishchandra, and forefather of Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan, in the same dynasty. So he was very insistent on being truthful, and for his truthfulness he had to suffer so much suffering he was put into. And we wonder why Vishwamitra would put him to such difficulty, but he tolerated it all just for the sake of, it was painful even to hear of what he went through. It's recounted in Mahabharata and Ramayana and elsewhere. He was so committed to truthfulness. Not particularly that he wanted to be praised, but he becomes praised forever because of that. But that, because he was praised, then that wanted to be tested. So if we praise someone, it's almost like inviting Maya to put them to the test. Are they really, really on that level? And praise someone, and then more neophyte devotees, they may become envious also. They're not on that level, and they're not able to do what others do. And instead of serving such devotees, susrushaya bhajana vigyam ananyam anya. Those who are, Rupa Goswami says, those who are on a very good level in devotional service, we should faithfully hear from them and serve them. But the neophyte tendency is to become envious. Instead of following and taking the mercy of such devotees and trying to come up, we try to find faults and then pull them down, give them trouble. I mean, not every neophyte devotee is like that. There's some who are envious, and they can cause trouble in Vaishnava society. So we're trying to cultivate a mode of pure devotion here. But wherever we do that, there'll always be someone who enters with a some other motive, either sent by Maya or whatever. And there are faults. If you want to find faults, no difficulty at all. There's no problem to find faults. The very nature of the material world is full of faults. Not everyone here is perfect, but trying, at least trying. Those who are big devotees, they are in the spotlight always. Everything they say and do, and everyone expects it to be perfect according to their own personal understanding of what perfect should be. But it's not that everyone always has to do what we think they should do. And there'll always be some devotees who are weak, some who are neophyte, and some who never really seem to grasp what we're trying to do, who never get into the slipstream, they never get on that wave, they never really catch what we're trying to do. That spirit of pure devotion, they can go on for years and years and not seem to make much progress. Don't be one of them. There may be some who are strong for years and look very strong, and they are strong, and then suddenly, somehow, they wobble, the test of Maya comes, and they're not able to withstand that. But we shouldn't think that, well, they're not really devotees. They've been trying, and they struggle, and then they may come down to not such an intense platform. But we can see they tried so hard for so many years, that won't be lost. Vishnu Chagwar Thakur writes, discussing about Maharaj Priyavrata, he's discussing how devotees may fall down, and he may say in some cases Krishna wants them to. Isn't that strange? Because Priyavrata was a perfect brahmachari, he didn't want to get married. But then from Manu and Brahma, they insisted that he get married. And from the description, it seems he got into a bit of maya. And at the end, he came back to his pure devotional service. There was some service he needed to do. Vishnu Chakravarti comments that sometimes Krishna may put us in a position where very difficult to understand. That's why we were saying yesterday, we should take shelter of Radha. She's more compassionate. But then Krishna says, it won't be forgotten. It's never forgotten. If for some reason Krishna puts us into some spiritual difficulty, that devotional service is not forgotten. So there are some who come to devotional service because Krishna is attractive to everyone. Krishna was very attractive to, in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing about Vrindavan. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishna kirtana gana naratana paro. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. So if there are some devotees among us like tigers, well, still they're chanting Hare Krishna somehow or other. So Krishna, he's attractive. He also attracts the demons. Big demons. They could go anywhere in the universe. They were coming to Vrindavan. Some of them came looking like devotees. This Vatsasura came as a calf, for instance, and Palambasura came looking like a cowherd boy. So there are some. They may be chanting, but it doesn't seem to have any effect. They may be very strong envy in the heart or whatever. Backbiting, political. When's devotees doing something good, they'll find so many reasons to criticize and call it fanatical and say, anyway, won't last long. they'll fall down sooner or later. Very envious way of thinking. Or they'll praise, very good devotee, but, nindami cha pim, what is that? Pibami cha nindami cha. You're drinking some very nice drink and enjoying it, but at the same time saying, who made this? They don't know how to make it. Psh. Taking advantage and criticizing also. Separatist mentality. We were just discussing yesterday, Vaisheshika Prabhu has this motto, live to give. But there are some who are more takers than givers. So such people will always be there. In Vrindavan, they were hoping, let's go somewhere else, let's move somewhere else, but there's nothing they could do. Wherever they went, the disturbing factors were coming. So that will always be there. There'll be some who'll drain our energy and strain our brains how to deal with them and this. They'll always be there. And they're never wrong. They're always right. Nothing can convince them what to do. Offer obeisance from a distance. They become happy if they hear of the spiritual difficulty. I always knew. They'd be like, ha ha, very good, yes. See, I told you. The devotees who are really committed, they go through some difficulty, and then others, they take pleasure in that. Or they may be doing some big service, but it's very, very important for them to show that they're doing big service. So it's amazing to see that devotees are pure. I was saying about pure devotees. So it's amazing to see devotees working so hard, so happily, so many departments. You just had a big festival, and it's possible to do it by hiring staff and this and that, but that devotees will work so hard in so many, doing so many services selflessly. This is pure devotion. And on the other hand, it's amazing to see how someone from some very ordinary or even degraded background picks up pure devotional service, and it can be amazing to see how someone comes into devotional service, has complete opportunity to pick up the same mode of pure devotional service, and they can almost committedly remain neophyte and even nasty in their outlook. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left this world 10 years earlier, we hear from Srila Prabhupada, due to his distress at seeing the number of his neophyte disciples increasing. What a loss for the world. 10 years, what he would have done. What did he do? Every moment he was giving such benediction to the world. How is that with such a powerful guru and his words are so powerful? They really have the effect of this. What is that? Satsu sajeta buddhiman. What is that verse? Tato du sangha utsrija. Satsu sajeta buddhiman. Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. One who's intelligent, having seen the nature of this material world, should give up bad association and associate with pure devotees who, by their powerful words, cut the material attachments. But those who are neophytes, they can't hear what's being said. Shunileina shunekan. They hear, they can even write it down in the Bhakti Shastra degree, but it doesn't enter the heart. There's a wall. There's a wall behind the ear. It can't enter. Or if it enters, it's changed around and regurgitated with a different understanding. Bhaktisthan Saraswati used to say, well, he said, there's a gap between, I'm speaking, you're hearing, there's a gap between us. Maybe a gap or maybe a wall. They cannot do Guru Mukha Padmavakya Chitete Kuriya Aikya. In Bengali, Hindi, probably other languages, they say, lend me your, give me your ear. It means listen to what I have to say. You give the ear means you have to give not just the ear, but the mind, the heart, the soul, to hear attentively, submissively. It all begins with that, doesn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recognized that when Rai Ramananda was recommending various levels of religious and spiritual uplift, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even rejected as external mixed devotional service, and then he accepted hearing, jnane prayasamudha pasya namanta eva, and which we'll hear in the next chapter. Brahma speaks this verse. Hearing attentively, submissively, with the intent to learn and to be purified. So that will all be, so many important things will be discussed in the next chapter, in nearing the end of this chapter. Just three more verses. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this? You wrote a question. Any from the ladies? Just a second. Say it in the mic.
Our life should be Guru's instruction to be our life and soul. So we desire, so we do service for Guru's pleasure, Krishna's pleasure. So we report to our Guru. Does it mean that I want my Guru to recognize it because I want to please my Guru? Is this a danger?
Yeah, we want to be recognized by our Guru. We don't advertise in a mundane way, but if we're trying to get the mercy of the Guru, so we want to be recognized. But that doesn't mean we advertise ourselves. Recognized by the Guru doesn't necessarily mean that he has to praise you or any such thing. There's a transcendental system. Krishna's in the heart of everyone. He gives knowledge to everyone as required. How this whole Guru disciple thing is working, it's all working by the mercy of Krishna. Otherwise it's inconceivable. Exactly what's going on between Guru and disciple, that's all orchestrated by Krishna, which I see many times in my relationship with Srila Prabhupada and with disciples also. It's too big a thing. To be a guru is too big a thing for any jiva. It's only that Krishna, he involves in that in his own way. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarupyas charkipa sindubi evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya turnakang padiyane patakrit vacha kaka etab hambravimi kaka shatam etadam. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charne kurutana raga. Parivadatu jano yata tata vana. Hari rasa madhira madhati madha bhuvivilotama nartama nirvisham. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.